Podcast 167. This is your Uncle Thomas Terrera with the Day Game Podcast. Every week, this episode is on flash game versus smooth game. What are the differences and how do you go from one to the other and why should you? Today's episode is being recorded and will be broadcast from inside the Passion Wagon. Here I am, it's like pirate radio. I'm inside a van driving from Wales north towards Manchester for the start of the Black Sheep Bandit Below the Belt book tour. I am arriving tomorrow in Dublin, which is the 22nd, then the following day, 23rd, in Manchester, 24th, Edinburgh, 25th, Birmingham, 26th, back down to Cardiff, and 27th, in London. Every evening, it's 7 p.m. We're meeting up in O'Neill's Pub, except for in Edinburgh, when we meet in Malone's. So don't go to O'Neill's in Glasgow. Come along to Edinburgh. Further details, if you didn't listen to anything I just said or you want to know which O'Neill's, because I'm aware in London there are a few, then below on the blog post I will list everything. So there you go, it's a free tour. You come along, you can meet me, you can have a pint with me. More importantly, you can meet other day gamers in your city. Hopefully there are some active ones that can kick your beautiful backside into action. So rather than just listening to these podcasts or dabbling, you can start in Britain. That's right. You can talk to women in the British Isles and in Ireland, Fair Island. So that's the plan. And you can ask me questions. We'll go through sticking points. And inside the van, underneath me right now, I've got 30, 35-ish, I haven't counted, copies of the new book, Below the Belt. So I'll flog them, 5-ish. Per city, and I'll sign them. And this tour is really not to sell the books. I've already sold a lot from the launch, so thank you if you've bought them. This tour is to meet British day gamers and to obviously do a bit of day game and to see the state of day game in these fair isles. Because when I recently did a blog post asking guys that are active day gamers, I said, how many day gamers are actually in your city? And I was asking guys in London and New York and Los Angeles and Berlin and Amsterdam and whatever. And the feedback, both public on the blog and private via email, or guys I know WhatsApping me, is that the numbers have basically remained very small. And in a way this is good, in a way this is bad. It's good in that people imagine there are hundreds of day gamers out there because thousands of people watch the YouTube videos, so people think, well, the city's ruined, there's so many day gamers because there's so many guys talking about this on forums or chat groups on WhatsApp, when in reality you're getting roughly 5 to 10 guys in a massive city like New York or London, Los Angeles probably less. And some guy was saying, oh, there's 25 in my city, I think it was San Francisco. Well, there might be 25 guys on a day game group, or 25 guys in a seminar, or 25 guys texting each other. But the guys that go out 3 to 5 times a week, they know what they're doing. They're not spamming. They get laid, most importantly, and they can break down how. They're day gamers. And so the numbers have remained that way, even in London, when people said, oh, London's destroyed, there's so many day gamers. I used to walk around London nightly, and you'd see the same 5, 10 guys max, who were really putting in the work. Of course, some guys get into it and then do a few weeks, a month or two, and then they drop out. I've made a video on day game dropout rates and the reasons for that. So it's a good thing because you have all these cities to yourself, basically. And today's podcast is about how to have them even more to yourself. Why is the low numbers a bad thing? Well, you could say that means most guys are stuck. They are either in their head, they know about this stuff but they can't execute, or they don't know anything about day game and they still get drunk every Friday and Saturday night and hope for the best. They go out on the pool, they are blind drunk and they see what happens. Or I suppose most guys are on Tinder. What's the saying? Punching below your weight, getting girls that are, yeah, they're settling, let's say, they're settling for girls, and they don't even know what's out there. They don't even know what's possible. So that's why it's sad, but ha-ha, all the more for me, all the more for you. And I suspect in the cities that I'm visiting on this tour, many guys might come to the meetup, but when you look them in the eye and say, do you day game? Are you a regular day gamer? You'll just find one or two, and you'll be able to tell who they are. Anyway, moaning over, I'll see you on this tour if you're in Britain or Ireland. And let's talk about today's topic, which is flash game versus smooth game. Flash game looks really good. Flash game is using the complete day game toolkit in Street Hustle, using all the tricks and tips and techniques, and like a stage illusionist, you know, like David Copperfield with the sequin waistcoats and the smoke machine and the girl and the, you know, he's sawing her in half and the doves and all that glitzy Vegas magician-like attire, you can see that day gamer a mile off. He's flashy because maybe he's filming a YouTube video, and to get many clicks, to get a nice clickbaity video, it needs to look like the girl's laughing all the time and it's a really high energy set, and maybe the guy spins around and he picks her up and it's worth watching. It's entertaining. It's like one of those prank videos, and it's encouraging. It gets an audience, so that's why guys make it. Maybe it's because the guy's just got into pickup and he's so excited, which is a good thing. He's got that puppy dog energy, and I miss that. When you get into game, you are like a kid in a sweet shop. You just run around. You're not really aware of the difficulties to come. Just talking to girls is amazing. Just getting a phone number, you think, this is it. I've mastered the universe. I will have no more problems. You don't really know about the other levels of rejection. But anyway, that naive blue sky is wonderful. So the guy is full of energy, and he's using the same energy that you might see in a nightclub. He's using the same game techniques, the extreme push-pull, the extreme spikes, the massive negs, and she's giggling, and he thinks, I'm gonna make it really sexual, you know, verbally or physically on the street. He's going for it, and good on him, because he's certainly not behind Tinder, he's certainly not Mr. Nice Guy Timid anymore. He's gone to the opposite extreme. And once again, you can spot him a mile off. He jumps dramatically in front of girls. And I remember one guy in London, this was years ago, and he would run up to a girl and pick her up as the opener, a classic dance floor open in a nightclub, but he was doing it during the day, you know, going for loads and loads of makeouts, enjoying himself. I've seen guys doing salsa on the street. I've seen guys that are heavily peacocked during the day, you know, the proper dandy, which is fine. Again, better than being the grey, dad-like, anonymous guy that looks like everybody else, the clone. So yeah, you get into pickup, you read a book on game, and you're not really sure in the beginning of the difference between day game and night game. It's very common for guys to come up to me and say, Tom, why don't you do night game? In fact, a guy came up to me the other day, he was doing a program with another very good instructor, but this is a night game instructor, and he said, Tom, I just don't get why you don't do night game and day game. And the answer I gave him is the answer I always give. It's like comparing tennis to table tennis. Yeah, tennis, big energy, big strength, big power, being night game, and table tennis is a different game. You could superficially say, oh, it's the same kind of dynamic as tennis, but it's a different game, different training, different athletes. It's a different thing. So I say specialize, depending on your personality and your energy levels, and just simply what you prefer, perhaps depending on your age as well. Can you go out for those multiple nights in a row and perhaps drink for multiple nights in a row? Do you enjoy pumping music? Do you love big group sets? Are you boisterous? You know, do you love the physicality? Well, that's fantastic. And I admire night gamers. But day gamers, if you think of night game as the flashy David Copperfield stage magic, then day game is that close-up magic, that sleight of hand, the card magic, the coin magic, the saloon magician. And I'll come on to talk about magic because it's a very good analogy. But do you see the difference between flash game the flashy night stuff versus smooth and you could say stealth day game. That's why I call my video product Stealth Seduction, because it's very MI5 like. It blends in. And you could say the best pickup artist in the world or the best day gamer in the world is the one that no one has noticed. Yeah, so when I said, oh, there's only 5 or 10 guys usually per big city doing day game, well, they might be the guys you notice. They might be the jumping in front, you know, doing the same thing. They might be slightly peacocked. They might be in the same place as all the others, you know. They only do it in Oxford Street or on Fifth Avenue. They're the ones you see. But what about the ones that are more sneaky? When I started day game, I was doing indirect, remember? And I started doing seated sets outside the National Gallery, Trafalgar Square. I would go into art galleries. One of my first lays from day game came from an English girl who was looking at a painting inside the National Gallery. And I went up to her and my opener was something about her wellies. I think it was indirect in that I said I wanted to buy them for my sister and where had she got them, and then I think I teased her. And yeah, an English girl inside a gallery, so obviously lots of other people around. Obviously I didn't jump, I blended in, nobody saw what I was doing. There were security guys in the art gallery. I used to do it in other museums, I used to do it in bookshops where you have to whisper. I love bookshop game. I was going direct at that stage, but it was still very smooth and under the radar. It's like when you do a waitress, yeah? There's many of me doing these on YouTube where her colleagues are around. And yeah, you can be bold and show off and do it in front of everybody and have customers like, oh! But the ones that really work and the ones that I enjoy, and I've done two this year, two memorable ones, one in Riga and one in Vilnius, back-to-back cities on the van tour. Both of them were waitresses and I did the stealth seduction. So I closed secretly by getting her to write her Facebook on the receipt, or me writing my Facebook on the receipt and hoping for the best and making sure her colleagues knew nothing. It was smooth because it was under the radar, it was calibrated, it was largely non-verbal, so it was discreet. I talk about this again and again in the Secret Society sections of the new book, and it relies, yeah, on eyes. It just relies on vibe. It relies on a sexual energy. It is much, much cleverer than the front stop. Now, I'm not dissing the front stop. I love the front stop. The front stop works. It's got me laid many times where you jump in front of a really fast girl and girls have said, wow, I just admired the balls of you jumping in front of me, you know, especially if she's hot and intimidating. But that front stop is for one situation, for fast moving girls on these busy streets. So I would say stretch your day game. I always do this with students, or I used to when I taught live. Start with the front stop, you know. Grow a pair of balls, get some hairs on your chest, not hairy balls, and yeah, learn to be direct. It's all good. Have a bit of flashiness about you. Use some of these flashy techniques and then take it down and work on your smoothness. So I would take the student into a busy shop, and then you could take them into a bookstore, into a quiet cafe. Push it, yeah? And it's obviously about facing the spotlight effect. But that's a good thing to overcome. And switching from verbal to non-verbal. So obviously the beginner says, what did you say? What did you say? And the advanced guy will understand that nothing actually has to be said. If you've got great eye contact and a solid smirk, you're closing a bit of distance, you've got a twinkle in your eye, you say one or two things to break rapport. She gets it. And that vibe is very, very hard to explain. Of course, to teach and even to film, because the smooth stealth seduction stuff, even when I filmed all those however many lays, 17 lays on stealth seduction, the camera's point of view, so it's looking at the girl, and some guys have said to me, oh, it didn't sound like a lot was going on in that set. Yeah, it's not as flashy obviously as the high energy laughing sets you might see on YouTube. What you couldn't see is obviously my eye contact, my smirk. You can never on a YouTube video, on a day game infield video, feel the vibe, the crackling sexual tension. You can never feel that. So it's often good with the student, or you can do it with your wing. Let him stand close to the set, or bring him in. Even if it's one girl, it doesn't have to be a two set. And just, if you're better than him and you're trying to teach him this stuff, let him feel this dynamic. The difference between social chat. I know lots of day gamers still are stuck in social chatting away to the girl. And sexual day game. Yeah. And let him feel the difference between attraction, which is ha ha ha, high-fiving, the girl's laughing, and arousal, where the set might be silent and you're moving one step closer and she blushes. And you can cut that sexual tension in the air with a knife. No, you don't need to carry a knife when you do day game. That's a metaphor, but you get what I mean. So you are under the radar, you are fluid, you can adapt your day game, it's three-dimensional, and you're not flashy. Remember the quote, disguise your skill, don't exhibit your skill. Disguise your skill, don't exhibit your skill. And of course, when you get into this and you learn that skill, you want to show off. And you show off to your wing, you show off to your mates, you show off to the girl, you show off to the video camera, if you're making infield videos. And then you want to make it super smooth, make it super stealth, and blend in like an MI5 spy. And then almost become the grey man. I know I said you're getting away from blending in the beginning, but ironically, you kind of want to go back to, I think that's the term, the grey man, the everyman, the man that you wouldn't pick out. So maybe when I go to these cities on this tour, there will be people doing very stealth, advanced day game right under my nose, and I won't spot it. I usually do. I'm very calibrated to. Usually I see how a girl's behaving. I see a guy and a girl talking on the street and I'm looking at the girl and I recognize her reactions. But if the guy's smooth, I won't see him approach. I won't see him doing his thing. I might not even see him number close. That's how good he might be. Like Oliver Twist, like a pickpocket, yeah? I think a long time ago I told you to watch a documentary on YouTube about one of the world's best pickpockets. Now, he's a stage pickpocket, so he does it as entertainment. I'm sure there's other pickpockets that you've never heard of, just like other day gamers you've never heard of because they're so smooth. But if you've got 45 minutes, or I think it's an hour, type in Bob Arno, A-R-N-O, pickpocket, or world's best pickpocket. That's how he bills himself. He's like a Las Vegas pickpocket guy, but he takes watches, obviously, and wallets and coins and people's ties, and he breaks down how he does it. And in this documentary, he's going to find real pickpockets in Italy, and he's fascinated by their level of skill, and they're suspicious at first, but then they're fascinated by what he can do, like removing a belt. And it's an art. And of course, as a pickpocket, it's a secret art, yeah? Because you're going to get arrested, you're going to get imprisoned, or worse. So he's talking about misdirection, he's talking about pressure points, lots of day game techniques you will recognize, funnily enough, certainly to do with tourist hotspots. But look how stealth it is, okay? Many people think, when you say day game, they think it's just jumping in front of girls. And even more problematic for many guys who I've taught, they just think day game is the opener. So they'll run around, they've learned the opener off of YouTube, and they'll run around and you'll see them say, excuse me, I just wanted to say, you look nice. Dun, 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 dun. And then they have that expectation. She hooks or she doesn't hook. And if she doesn't hook, they move on to the next skill. Hello, excuse me, you look nice. And that's it. So kind of a caricature of day game, if you like. They're completely missing the whole art and craft of day game, which is like learning how to pickpocket, I guess. Or the better analogy, as I said, magic. A film I watched this week, a documentary I watched, was about, I think, the world's best card mechanic, you call it. He's not a close-up card magician. He's a card mechanic in that... In days gone by, he would be a grifter, he would be a road hustler, he would be a guy in the casino, maybe employed by the casino to do dodgy deals. That's where the saying comes from. He can deal cards from the middle of the deck, the second one from the top, the bottom of the deck. He can influence the game. And the documentary is about a card mechanic called Richard Turner. And I'm sure you can find it. The name escapes me quite appropriately. For the art of escapism, And of course he's fantastic and he shows you his skills, but then you realize that he's blind. He became blind as a child, I think as a teenager, he lost his sight completely. So he's doing the card mechanic tricks through his fingers. He says he sees with his fingers and watch his training, watch his repetition, watch his dexterity, watch his skill, watch how it's such a fucking art. Okay, it moves on from science to an art and a craft, the art and craft of deception. Yep, so where is the stage stuff, the David Copperfield stuff, the disappearing over the Grand Canyon, whatever, that all looks amazing, especially on television or to a big stage audience. When you're up close to someone like Richard Turner, sitting around a table, sitting around the felt, a meter away from him, watching him do these things with cards, or if you watch a coin magician, it's a supreme skill. And it really, really, really reminds me of Day Gamers. It's low key, it's quiet, it's subtle, it's nuanced, and it appeals to a certain type of person. I always found that far more fascinating than the big kind of cheesy 90s magical shows. So again, you kind of pick one and you specialize in it. And I said to the guy who came up to me, just coming back to that story, the one who said, why don't you do Night Game? And I said, specialize, and you rarely meet an instructor or a very good pickup artist who does everything. He's usually a really good night gamer, or he's a really good lounge bar gamer, or he's a day gamer. Yeah, or he specializes in social circle. You have to specialize. You have to find your niche that matches your interests and energy levels, and then go for it. So I specialized in day game and completely ignored night game. So perhaps that's a secret of getting good and appreciating the art and the craft. So appreciating the whole process, taking fulfillment, finding joy in doing the day game. I still get a lot of joy when I do a mini bounce or a little misdirection, or I do an open question, or I realize I'm qualifying the girl, or I do a sneaky bit of keno, or when you pull a girl on an instant date, you always chuckle inside. That's a beautiful little magic trick. Yeah, or when you do verbal escalation, or I still get a kick out of doing my physical escalation steps on a date, because you go from the girl being nervous and sitting opposite you to having her next to you and leaning on you and being floppy. It's magic. It's absolutely magic. So enjoy that, and you'll realize then why just jumping in front of girls and going, you look nice, and then the next girl, excuse me, you look nice, it's not game. Just like, sure, you can get laid from Tinder, and guys get laid from Tinder, and they say, why do you do all this day game stuff? You know, they've completely missed out the art and craft, the joy of day game. Not just the fact that you can get higher quality girls. I don't mean morally, that sounds like the guys online, higher quality girls. I mean hot girls. Yeah, younger, hotter girls from day game than from Tinder. It's just much more enjoyable. And take pride in the smoothness of your game. You know, respect the craft. When you watch that Richard Turner card mechanic documentary, fucking hell, respect the craft. Just like the magicians at the Magic Castle in LA, respect guys like Richard Turner for the discipline, for the dedication, for his understanding of card mechanics. It's a beautiful thing, and it's under the radar rather than observable. And in the new book, I talk about this a lot. You know, emotional, so her hindbrain versus logical, the forebrain. When you might stand there, a guy who doesn't really know how women make decisions, so he's standing there at the front door with the girl, people are walking past, and he's trying to logically convince her to come inside and have sex, and that's not how it works. It's far more subtle. A pickup artist knows that you're engaging her hindbrain. You're creating an emotional rush which bypasses the forebrain, the logic. So you might not see it. It might be done through keno. It might be done through proximity. It might be done through isolation. It might be done through smell. All these super, super subtle things. Yeah, discretion is one of the pillars of the secret society. Not just for smoothness of game, but perhaps she's got a husband. Perhaps she's got a boyfriend nearby. Perhaps her dad's nearby. Perhaps her work colleagues are nearby. So don't fall into the trap of enjoying games so much that you become super flashy. I know it's a phase guys usually go through for the first 6 to 12 months. You're so proud of game that you want to show off. I know guys that even want to show off to the girl. That's called over-gaming, and I've done that in the past where you know she's hooked, you know she's on the date, you know she's coming back to yours, but you think, I just want to use the whole toolkit. So you do strawberry fields and the cube and think of a number and palm reading and dreams and every physical escalation step, you know. And she can tell that this is, what's the definition of that? Try hard, you know, with a guy who's getting laid all the time, who's a master seducer, would he have to do that? No, he gets it. Again, it's that I know that you know that I know vibe that I always talk about, yeah? And really, that's in charismatic people. A long time ago, I made a podcast about charisma. I can't remember how long ago now. I think I was in Brazil. But I remember saying charisma is power plus warmth. And if you just have half the equation, it doesn't work. So you'll notice charismatic people make other people do stuff. They make people follow, but they don't have to force them to do it. That's the warmth side of it. So if you just have power over somebody, you're a powerful person, that's not charisma. It's too obvious. The frame is too obvious. Good frame control should be invisible. And the great Quentin Crisp, he said, charisma is the ability to influence without the use of logic. Charisma is the ability to influence without the use of logic. So therefore, you don't need to engage in these obvious vocal, verbal frame battles. This is where guys trip up arguing with feminists online, you know, or arguing with girls or trying to persuade her to kiss them, or talking to her like she's a guy. They haven't yet understood that you have to influence her without using logic, which is what I said, emotional, under the radar stuff. So that's the warmth. That's the art of charm. And that's a charismatic person. You're not really sure why you're following them or doing what they say or buying that thing or going to hear them speak, or the fact that you love that musician so much or that actor so much. There's that intangible quality, which is an emotional thing. It's under the radar and it's super subtle. Yeah. So smooth game definitely has warmth. And when you watch Richard Turner, the card mechanic, you'll see a beautiful patter he has as well to the people around the table. He has an incredible warmth. And flash game, you could say it's just power. It's just that guy in a sequined cape on the stage saying, look at me, look at me. And yeah, television loves him. And big stadiums, they love him. But if you've ever been to a gig, a very small gig, it might be a reading, or it might be a musical gig, or it might be a magic show. If you've been in a very intimate setting where you're just meters away from that person, fucking hell, it's amazing. It's something that you can really respect. Anyway, to finish, a word that I shall leave you to look up and ponder. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's Italian. Sprezzatura. Sprezzatura. I'm sure my Italian listeners will spank me for saying that wrong. But I think it's a very old Italian word for courtiers. When they used to say to a good courtier, he had to have that studied carelessness about him, in that you make a difficult thing look easy, so you're not showing off to people, especially if they're your boss. Yeah, so just like a card shark does it, like a close-up magician does it, a courtier has this charisma about him without being, you know, Mr. Know-it-all, Mr. Show-off, Mr. Goody-two-shoes, Mr. Perfect. He's making it look like he's not trying, when in reality he's had to put in hundreds of hours of discipline to do what he does. So a day gamer, yes, should have sprezzatura. I know it applies to other things in other contexts, but I like that. And I hope I've inspired you to not just jump in front of girls and say you look nice, but think about the whole process of pickup. Think about the art and craft of day game, and try and take your day game off the street into some of these secret environments. And when I come to your city this week, see if I can spot you or not on the street. It means you're bloody good if you're day gaming under the radar in stealth seduction mode. All right, I'm gonna make some dinner inside the van. Then we'll upload this, and I will see the Dubliners tomorrow, which is Saturday the 22nd of September, 7 p.m. O'Neill's details on the blog post below. Until next week, goodbye. Thank you.